listening to This Week in Virtualization, TechTarget's weekly news podcast on server and desktop virtualization.
Welcome to the May 13th edition of This Week in Virtualization. I'm Senior Site Editor Colin Steele.
And I'm Associate Editor Keith Kessinger.
This week, we're happy to introduce our new co-host on the podcast, Bridget Patello, who is the Senior Site Editor for SearchVirtualDesktop.com. Thanks for joining us, Bridget.
Thank you for having me.
This week, we'll be talking about the latest licensing controversy between Oracle and VMware, as well as some more news on Microsoft System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012. But first, Bridget's going to get things started with some news on VMware Project Horizon.
So last year at VMworld, VMware announced their Project Horizon strategy, which would be an application portal where IT pros can control the cloud apps that their end users are accessing. So basically all the cloud apps that their end users would access on the network, which is really insecure, they can now put into an application portal. And using Active Directory, they use a single sign-on to access all the cloud apps and all their the corporate apps behind a firewall. We've been waiting for this to come out. In the meantime, Citrix released their receiver, which is basically the same concept. So a few weeks back, in talking to some analysts, it came out that Horizon will finally launch next week. Which is great. People are really excited about it. It's a new way to deliver applications in a more secure way when you're talking about cloud apps. But there are also some concerns about opening up Active Directory to cloud apps and using a cloud platform.
So part of the apps that you're talking about that get tied into this are a lot of the acquisitions that they've been making over the last couple of years. Like there was recently SlideRocket, mm-hmm. and then there was Mozy a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. and Zimbra a while back as well. And I remember thinking when they first bought these, like, what are they doing buying these? These aren't anything related to virtualization at all.
Yeah.
And whether you agree or disagree with what their strategy is now, at least you kind of see what it is as before you were like,
right. So basically, you know, when people think of VMware, they think of the server side. But they've been building up their desktop virtualization products and making a name for themselves and now moving to the cloud. And that's, you know, what they see as the future. So they're pretty much trying to compete with the Google apps and the Microsoft Office 365s of the world, where they now have PowerPoint. They have, backup, they have email, collaboration. They're missing the word processing piece, and they're missing the spreadsheet like an online Excel. But, you know, they could end up acquiring those and have a suite that's similar to Google Apps and compete there, and all of it's managed through Project Horizon.
Is there any benefit to using these over?
Well, I guess the benefit that they're saying, using VMware's cloud products, is that, you know, with something like SlideRocket, you can use PowerPoint and you can use Google's slide software. You can use all that stuff with, their SlideRocket product. So they're trying to be we have an open, flexible offering that you can still use these other things with and use ours too.
I just saw at the EMC World keynote this week that Paul Moritz, their CEO, finally came out and said what we've all been saying for a while, that, you know, the hypervisor is a commodity and mm-hmm. that can't be where VMware tries to continue to grow and make its money. Mm-hmm. So this is clearly one of their ways that they're trying to branch out into.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. No one cares about the hypervisor. They care about the management and, you know, the tools that are going to make end users' lives easier. And mobile computing is the direction that it's going. So they're trying to be flexible, which is kind of funny in that on the server side, they're, you know, it's ESX or die. But on the cloud side, they're being very open and buying these products that support Microsoft and support Google. And it's really a new direction for them.
It's really interesting to see just how much they've grown over the last couple of years since we've been covering them.
I mean, yeah.
I was reading articles from like 2007 where it wouldn't even say VMware, a virtualization company. It would say, you know, VMware, a company that lets you do this and makes
hardware
more flexible. It's like, because nobody even knew what virtualization was, and now they're like beyond that and doing so much more. It's really interesting.
Well, I think this all really ties back into Moritz when he said several years ago that the end of the operating system, that they're kind of pushing everything towards the cloud. Yeah, and you see like major players now since that statement, like Google with their Chrome OS operating system, where they're trying to eliminate the operating system and kind of just push everything on a web browser-based computer model. So I think that this fits into it as well. So it seems like this is where the trend of where computing is going, whether it's even on the consumer side, now it seems like the IT side is kind of converging.
Meanwhile, I mean, they're doing all this stuff, but everyone's still going to use Windows and, you know, a traditional operating system. I think all these things are just supplemental, and enterprises are not going to change their whole paradigm and move to the cloud anytime soon.
No, I completely agree. I mean, if you have a web-based OS like Google Chrome, I mean, you need something to run that browser on. Mm-hmm. And obviously now you have a lot more options because of iPads and cell phones and everything can mm-hmm. run browsers just as easily as a Windows PC now, but it's still the basis for pretty much everything you're going to do is on these Windows-based machines. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, cloud computing software as a service, same thing. You can't access these cloud apps or these cloud services mm-hmm. without something on your desk right. or in your pocket.
Right.
You know, we were kind of talking about VMware trying to become the new Microsoft, but Microsoft isn't VMware's only, you know, big enemy at the top of the software market. Mm-hmm. We also have our good friends at Oracle. And as we all know, they don't have the friendliest policies when it comes to running their software on VMware. And that issue has popped up again with two new features in vSphere 4.1, CPU pinning and DRS host affinity rules. This can get kind of technical, so I'll try to explain it as simply as possible. But basically, Oracle considers all competing virtualization platforms to be soft partitioning. So if you want to virtualize Oracle's apps in this way, you still have to buy licenses based on the physical resources that are underneath the virtualization layer. And this policy really takes away from a lot of the cost benefits that you'd expect with virtualization. So in vSphere 4.1, we have these CPU pinning and host affinity rules features, which could technically be considered hard partitioning. And that's because host affinity rules let you limit VM movement to select hosts in a cluster, and CPU pinning ties workloads to specific processors. And on the surface, it seems like a great thing because Oracle's licensing policy isn't as strict for hard partitioning. So some users see these features as a way to finally save money on the licensing cost. But Oracle says they won't support these features either. Although, and here's the catch, they will support them on Oracle VM, their own hypervisor.
Which no one uses, by the way.
Excellent point.
Just throwing that out there.
Just saying.
You would think, oh, there must be some technical limitation to why they won't allow this. But when they say, oh, we'll do it on ours, you know, it's clearly a money grab.
It's a we'll lock you in, and everyone's doing virtualization now. So, you know, people want it. They're going to do it whether Oracle condones it or not. They're just not going to be supported if anything happens. They'll have to move their environment back over to a physical server.
We've written a lot about the licensing controversies between Oracle and VMware in the past, but when virtualization was first starting out, it wasn't a huge issue because a lot of organizations weren't at the point where they were going to virtualize these, you know, really mission critical, really data intensive, really resource consuming apps. But as we're getting more and more towards, you know, that 100% virtualization mark, or not even 100, you know, 80, whatever, more businesses are doing this, and it's coming up more and more. Oracle is used to strong-arming customers when it comes to price on a lot of other things, and now it seems like they're trying to strong-arm customers with their licensing policies and get some people away from VMware and onto their platform.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, they're trying to tell people, you know, you want to play ball, you got to use our bats. But people are just going to move over to the next field and say, you know, to hell with you, we're going to do it and we don't need your support. And that's what's happening. And, you know, it's really their loss. Eventually, they'll probably say, you know, you can't beat them, join them. But, oh, they seem like they're really stubborn. It's been years.
A lot of this is that we've covered is on the server side, you know, virtualizing back-end applications Are there any parallels that you can draw to this in the desktop market?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're talking about desktop virtualization, Microsoft was the holdout for years, and they didn't, you know, they just made it so expensive to license the Windows OS with VDI that it didn't make sense from an ROI perspective. But, you know, they eventually gave in and said, okay, we now have licensing specifically for virtual desktops. You know, it's not perfect, but it's better, and maybe a company like Oracle would do the same thing. Some kind of, you know, you can use it on VMware, but you have to pay a little bit more for licensing or whatever. I don't know. We'll see.
One thing that I thought was interesting was, I think it was last year when Oracle kind of clarified their Oracle Rack support, saying that, all right, if you're using it on VMware and something goes on, we'll actually support it. And they gave a couple of like clarifications on what they would do. And so some users were saying, oh, maybe Oracle's starting to thaw on virtualization. Maybe they're going to start accepting it more. But then you see stories like this where it's clearly they haven't really changed their tune.
Right. I think, you know, every once in a while they feel like they must have to do something just to be like, oh, no, we're virtualization friendly.
Yeah.
And then...
But they're still the evil empire. I mean, that's how people are viewing. They're being sticklers about it, and it's not doing them... They're not doing themselves any favors in the virtualization community.
At the same time, what are customers going to do about it?
Right.
They have these...
They can go to open source
DB. Seven-figure investments in the Oracle software. They're not going to get rid of it. And you know, the other options are either to just not virtualize it or virtualize it and take your chances. But it's hurting Oracle reputation wise, but it's not going to hurt their bottom line anytime soon. Now here's Keith with the rest of this week's news.
Microsoft System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012 will support the Storage Management Initiative specification. SMIS is an emerging standard that's supposed to make it easier to manage multi-vendor storage environments. And instead of using vendor-specific APIs, which can take a while to develop, VMM 2012 will use the SMIS to connect to storage arrays. Whether or not storage vendors adopt SMIS is another story. Some say Microsoft's backing will force vendors to take notice, but others say Microsoft will have to use additional storage integration methods to bring thin provisioning, automated tier storage, and other advanced features to VMM 2012. In other news, security vendor PacketMotion has VMware's vShield app in its crosshairs. The company claims that its new Packet Sentry virtual probe provides a lightweight alternative to virtual firewalls. The virtual appliance attaches to a virtual switch, and it can detect application-level transactions and separate workloads. But just because the virtual probe looks like a virtual firewall and acts like a virtual firewall, that doesn't make it a virtual firewall. Unlike vShield app, virtual probe doesn't use VM SafeNet or offer network segmentation. And other users are wary that it requires promiscuous mode, which VMware recommends against. But PacketMotion says that it's commonplace in physical infrastructures, and the entire virtual switch doesn't enter promiscuous mode, just the portion that virtual probe uses.
Thanks, Keith. That about wraps it up for this week. Bridget, how was your first show?
It was excellent. Thank you. It was a fun time. Thanks for having me.
Think you'll come back?
I have to check my schedule.
So in 2 weeks... You and I are going to
Citrix Synergy.
Right, Citrix Synergy, which is Citrix's big user conference. And I'll actually be there earlier in the week for Citrix Summit, the partner conference as well. So hopefully on next week's show, we can do a little preview based on all the extensive reporting we're doing in the run-up to the show. And we'll also bring you whatever else happens in the world of virtualization news.
You've been listening to This Week in Virtualization. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And for more information, visit searchservervirtualization.com, searchvmware.com, and searchvirtualdesktop.com.